Good morning, everyone. If you are worshiping with us this morning for the first time, I can assure you that if you come here and you don't listen to a good sermon, you will hear beautiful voices. It is even better if we have a joint choir like we have this morning. Thank you very much. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are joining us via Zoom and those who will be listening to our worship service afterwards from our church's website. The intimations on the worship orders in your hands, and you are invited to join us for teas and coffees after the service at our church hall. Today is the 15th of December, 2024. It is a significant date in our lives. Florence and myself got married on the 15th of December, 2006. Thank you. Can we take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship? Let us worship God. Our first hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." We will omit verse 4. It's hymn number 303.
Came upon the midnight clear,
Let us pray. Loving and sovereign God, we come before you in this season of Advent, seeking your presence and guidance in our lives. You are the God who meets us in the wilderness, who makes a way where there is none, and who calls us to prepare for your coming with hope and courage. In the noise and distractions of this world, quiet our hearts to hear your voice. Amidst uncertainties and detours, remind us of your steady and unfailing love. We approach you with awe, knowing that you bring light into the darkest places and transform our wildernesses into spaces of renewal. May this time of worship open our hearts to your grace and align our paths with your purpose. Merciful God, we confess that like travelers on a journey, we often resist the detours you place before us. We cling to our plans, trusting in worldly power, wealth, and control, rather than surrendering to your greater authority. In our busyness, we fail to notice the ways you are preparing the way for transformation in our lives. We have allowed pride, fear, and doubt to block the paths that lead us to you. We have neglected the cries of the hurting and the oppressed, and we confess our complacency in the face of injustice and suffering. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have wandered from your path, for the valleys of despair we have ignored, and for the mountains of pride we have refused to confront. As we prepare for the coming of Christ, cleanse our hearts, strengthen what is crooked within us, and make room for your renewing presence. Restore us, O God, and lead us forward in the light of your love. May your grace reshape us and empower us to live as people of hope, embodying your peace in a world longing for renewal. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. See in yonder manger, Luke 3:13.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Good morning. Good morning. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, so we are going to begin by lighting the third Advent candle. Jemima, do you want to light the candle? You don't want to? All right, Ariel. Thank you. How are you today, boys and girls? You good? It's very warm and cozy in here this morning. Are you enjoying this? I have so many layers, so that also helps. Now let us begin our talk this morning again with one or two questions. I forget a lot. And so sometimes I can go to a place once, twice, three times, and I will not still be able to find my way the next time I want to go there. So I get lost so many times. And that happens when I'm driving to England. I will put my sat nav, sometimes it will confuse me. So I want to ask you, have you ever got lost when you were really trying to find your way through something? Maybe it's a game, or you were going to a new place and you got lost on the way. Have you had that experience? Have you? No, some have. So how do you feel when you get lost, or when you cannot find your way in a game? How do you feel? Sad, disappointed. But what if a friend came through and said, okay, I can help you find your way? How would you feel? You will feel a bit relieved. So it's always good to have people who can help us find our way or help us to get something done. And there are other things. Maybe you are struggling with your maths. You are not able to find your way, and a friend or maybe your dad or your mom who is smart in maths, like Florence is, I am not. And so they can help you, guide you through the problem. Now, there is somebody in the Bible who was called by God to be able to prepare the way for others. And the name of that person is John. Have you ever heard about John in the Bible? Yes, Jacob. You've heard. What do you know about John in the Bible? He was a fisherman. Okay. John in the Bible, he was a fisherman. What do you know about John? Have you ever heard about John the Baptist? John the Baptist, what did he do? He baptized Jesus. That's a good answer. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. What more do you know about John? The Bible refers to John as the forerunner. The forerunner. What does that mean? Do you know the meaning of the word forerunner? Forerunner simply means somebody who goes before, or who announces, who talks about somebody who will come afterwards. And so John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. And John did not live in cities or in big houses like the man's. No, he lived in the wilderness. And we are told that his clothes were made of the hair of camel, and he ate wild honey. So his life was not the kind of life that you and I live, but he carried a very important message. He was preaching from the wilderness and talking about somebody who was to come, a very important person. Who is that person? Jesus. John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus, and he said, people should be ready to receive him. And he was saying they should be ready by preparing their hearts, by not doing bad things, by doing good things, so that Jesus will find a place in their hearts. That was the message of John the Baptist. And so, during Advent, we are preparing to receive Jesus Christ. And the message for all of us, the young and the old, is that in order for us to prepare, we have to prepare our hearts. We have to do good. We have to avoid doing anything that is not nice. We are supposed to be nice to our family members, our friends, in school, to our teachers. We are supposed to be nice people. We are supposed to be good children. So remember John the Baptist as the forerunner, the one who spoke about Jesus. He baptized Jesus, but he spoke about him before he was born. And he asked people to prepare their hearts to receive this Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for another day of worship. And we thank you for our children. And we thank you for their faith in Jesus Christ. We ask that you continue to strengthen and to bless them. Open their hearts to the gospel message and empower them to live good lives in this world. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Birthday blessings.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Advent to you all. Has any of our young people, whether in the Sunday Club or Youth Seekers, had a birthday recently? Yay! Come on up. Hello there. What's your name?
Gilead.
And how old have you turned?
13. Yesterday.
Ooh, let's give him a clap for yesterday. I know, another teenager in the house. So how did you celebrate yesterday?
I went to a restaurant with my friends. Mm-hmm. Nando's.
Ooh, nice. Was it good? Yeah. And what sort of things do you like getting up to? What do you like doing at school?
PE. Mm-hmm. Playing football.
And what about when you're at home or with your friends? What do you like to do?
I don't know. Playing on my Xbox.
I think maybe a football game on there too. But I think it's been a bit of a busy time in your house this week. Who else's birthday has it been?
My grandma.
Oh, can we give a big round of applause to grandma too? Well, I'm going to say a prayer for you, Gilead. Okay, everyone, let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for Gilead. Lord, I can see you shining through him when he's at church and when he's not. Lord, thank you that he has his passions through his sports and through his friendships too. Lord, thank you that you give Gilead the gift of joy and of laughter. I've had many laughs with him, and I hope he can share those with many other people too. Thank you so much for the Chu Chong family. It's been a week of celebrations, and thank you so much that we can celebrate with them today. Help us just to remember Jesus at the heart of everything as we celebrate birthdays and as we prepare for him in this coming week and a half. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we ready for some singing? For anyone who's new, we do have some slightly different words. Oh, you can't go away yet, Gilead, till we've sung for you.
Are we in a manger, no crib for a bed? 312, our next hymn.
Oh, The first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 10. This can be found on page 723 in the Pew Bible or on the overhead screen. Comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. The second reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, on page 1029 in the Pew Bible. John the Baptist prepares the way. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his holy word. The next hymn is number 309, Still the Night.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful and ever-living Father, we thank you for this opportunity to preach and to listen to your word. And we ask that through it you will grant us directions to walk through the complexities of life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I would like to reflect with you on the theme, Finding God on Life's Detours, Transforming Wilderness into Renewal. And I want to begin our reflection with a quick question. Have you ever tried to follow your GPS only to find yourself hopelessly lost? You know the feeling, recalculating, it says, and you think, how could I possibly be going the wrong way? Yet somehow you end up on a detour through roads so narrow and bumpy, you wonder if you are in someone's backyard. Life often feels like this. Just when we think we are cruising toward our destination, we hit unexpected roadblocks. And let us be honest, most of us don't like detours, even when they might lead us to something better. Today's gospel in Luke reminds us that preparing for God's arrival involves some intentional roadwork, clearing paths, straightening what is crooked, and maybe even bringing in spiritual bulldozers. Luke's account begins not with John's fiery sermons, but with a deliberate listing of rulers and authorities. Tiberius, Herod, Pilate, and the high priests. At first glance, this might feel like a history lesson, but Luke has a deeper purpose. These names represent the world's powers, the systems and structures that claim ultimate authority over life. Yet against this backdrop of seemingly unshakable rule, God's word bypasses the palaces of Tiberias, the courts of Pilate, and the high places of the temple to arrive in the wilderness. It is in this unassuming barren landscape that God commissions John to proclaim a greater authority, the reign of God. This passage offers a timely reminder for us today. As we near the close of a year marked by global uncertainties, economic instability, political upheaval, and personal struggles, it compels us to ask, where does our ultimate allegiance lie? The rulers of John's time claimed dominance, but their power was fleeting. God's message of salvation and transformation outlasted them all. This same truth challenges us to view the power structures of our time differently and to rethink how we interpret our own wilderness experiences. The word wilderness often stirs images of barrenness, hardship, and isolation. For many people, it symbolizes a place of desolation where resources are scarce and survival feels uncertain. Yet in Scripture, the wilderness emerges not as a place of abandonment, but as a profound space of divine encounter, transformation, and new beginnings. For the Israelites, the wilderness was a paradoxical space. It was desolate and filled with trials, yet it was also the site of liberation from the oppressive rule of Egypt. It became the classroom where God taught them dependence, trust, and faithfulness. It was there that God provided manna for their hunger, water for their thirst, and a covenant that defined their identity. What appeared to be a space of hardship was in fact a crucible where their freedom was forged and their relationship with God deepened. For the exiles, the wilderness symbolized the long path back to restoration. Israel's prophecy declared that God would make a way in the desert, streams in the wasteland, offering hope to those far from home. The wilderness wasn't the end of their story. It was the bridge to new life, a place where despair was met with the promise of renewal. And then there is John the Baptist. The wilderness was his pulpit, a stark contrast to the grandeur of Jerusalem's temple or the courts of worldly power and rulers. From this rugged place, John proclaimed a message of repentance and hope, preparing the way for Christ. His voice crying in the wilderness was a reminder that God's work often begins far from the centers of power, in places overlooked by the world. My dear Christian friends, today we experience wildernesses that may not always be physical landscapes, but emotional, societal, and spiritual realities. For many people in Great Britain and the Western world, the wilderness takes on the shape of societal disconnection. In an era of technology and rapid change, where news cycles are relentless and personal connections can feel shallow, we often find ourselves isolated despite living in crowded cities and communities. The pressures of rising costs of living, financial instability, and the fragmentation of families due to economic demands or migration can create emotional and spiritual barrenness. Globally, the wilderness expands into graver realities. Wars in Syria, Ukraine, and Israel-Palestine remind us of the fragility of peace and the devastating consequences of unchecked power. Dictators like Bashar al-Assad, who once seemed immovable, are increasingly exposed as human history pivots toward inevitable justice. Empires rise, make their mark, and eventually crumble. Just as Luke reminds us when listing the rulers of John's time, names that once signified power, but now stand as mere footnotes to the enduring message of God's reign. These global and personal wildernesses of war, displacement, and systemic injustice mirror the desolation faced by the Israelites in their exodus, the exiles returning to Jerusalem, and even John the Baptist in his desert ministry. Yet, Scripture teaches us that the wilderness is not a place of abandonment, but a space of divine encounter. In these barren spaces, God begins his transformative work, making rivers flow in deserts and parts through wastelands. What if we reimagined our wildernesses, not as signs of God's absence, but as places where his work begins? Just as the Israelites learned trust in the wilderness and exiles walked a path to restoration, we can see the wildernesses of our time as opportunities for transformation. For those of us here in Newport-on-Tay, the wilderness might be navigating life in a society marked by individualism, grappling with the tensions of belonging and faith in an increasingly secular culture. For those observing the wars abroad, it might be the helplessness of witnessing suffering that seems beyond resolution. And for others, it could be the emotional wilderness of loneliness, grief, or uncertainty about the future. But just as God provided manna to the Israelites and streams in the desert for the exiles, he meets us in our modern wilderness. These spaces can strip away our illusions of self-sufficiency, bringing us face to face with God's sufficiency. Financial hardship can teach dependence on God's provision. Societal challenges can call us to embody justice and compassion, and spiritual dryness can become the soil for renewed faith and growth. Even as wars rage and the power structures of this world attempt to assert dominance, we are reminded that God's kingdom operates differently. The wilderness, far removed from the grand halls of power, becomes the stage for God's most profound revelations. It is a place where worldly powers are humbled and God's enduring justice takes root. Advent is our wilderness season, a time to pause, reflect, and clear the clutter in our lives to make room for God. It is a season of preparation, not perfection. And John the Baptist's call to repentance is an invitation to let God's grace reshape our hearts. Preparing the way for Christ might mean addressing the valleys of despair or the mountains of pride in our lives. It might mean recognizing where we have placed too much trust in human power and surrendering instead to the eternal reign of God. Friends, whether you feel lost in a valley of uncertainty or weighed down by the mountain of global chaos, remember that the light of Christ is breaking through. His promise is not just for the powerful or the privileged, but for all people. Let us prepare the way with courage, hope, and joy, trusting in God's transformative power in our wildernesses. As we await the fulfillment of his promise, may we walk as people of light, straightening paths and embodying the peace and hope that Christ brings to a world in need. Together, let us proclaim that even in the desolation of the wilderness, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And so, let us pray. Gracious God, in this Advent season, prepare our hearts for the coming of your Son. Help us to clear away the distractions and detours that keep us from you. Straighten what is crooked in our lives. Lift what is low and humble what is proud. May we be messengers of your hope and peace, proclaiming your salvation to all. As we journey through this season, fill us with the courage to act on your promises and the joy of knowing that your light is breaking into our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, While Humble Shepherds Watched Their Flocks, 296. Let us pray. Gracious God, we dedicate ourselves to you, acknowledging that you are the one who meets us in the wilderness of our lives and transforms our desolation into renewal. As we prepare the way for your Son, help us clear the clutter from our hearts and open the paths of our lives for your grace. Take our gifts, our talents, and our time, and use them to proclaim hope to a hurting world. Let us be instruments of your justice, compassion, and peace, embodying your love in our homes, communities, and the wider world. May our dedication today reflect a deep trust in your power to bring light into the darkest places and streams into the driest deserts. Loving and merciful God, we lift our prayers for a world that often feels lost in wildernesses of conflict, fear, and uncertainty. You are the God who makes a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland, and we turn to you for hope and guidance. We pray for the places in our world torn apart by war, for the people of Syria, Ukraine, and Israel and Palestine. Comfort those who mourn, protect the vulnerable, and give wisdom to leaders to work for peace with justice. We pray for those who feel isolated or disconnected, whether by physical distance, grief, or spiritual dryness. Be their companion in the wilderness, drawing them into the embrace of your love. We lift up those facing financial hardship and instability, particularly in our own communities, here in the United Kingdom and across the Western world. Grant them courage, provide for their needs, and inspire us to be generous and compassionate neighbors. Lord, we pray for the rulers and systems of power that often claim ultimate authority over our lives. Remind us that your kingdom reigns above all, and empower us to speak truth, pursue justice, and seek transformation in the places where we live and serve. As we prepare our hearts during this Advent season, help us to hear the voice of John the Baptist calling us to repentance and renewal. Guide us to strengthen the crooked paths in our lives and to walk humbly with you, trusting in your promise of salvation. May your light shine brightly in the darkness, and may we, your people, reflect that light in all we do. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our coming King. Amen. If you are able, please stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our final hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory, 3-2-4. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.